If you notice the title of the sermon this morning, The Holy Spirit in Me, I just want to clarify, I'm not just talking about the Holy Spirit in Norma. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit in each one of us. Pray with me. Open our eyes to your truth. Open our ears for the work of your Spirit and examine our hearts as we look at the Word and say with David, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out everything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Amen." I am often asked, how does the Holy Spirit really relate to God and Jesus? And they're generally asking about God in three persons. How does it work? And briefly, each member of the Trinity, the Godhead, the divine family, however you think of God in three persons, each one has a specific role. Although each one of those persons is fully God, and they never act independently, they work together. God the Father is predominantly the creator, yet Jesus and the Spirit were also involved. And Jesus is the Redeemer, yet God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are described as sending the Son to redeem. And the Holy Spirit is the Sanctifier. We'll look at other names for him as well, but the Father and Jesus are also, they also cooperate in the work of the Spirit. The Father, Jesus, and the Spirit are equal in their divine attributes, yet they relate to us, the human beings they created, in a different way as each person has a different role. Now, we have been accused of having three gods. We do not. We have one God in three persons functioning uniquely and perfectly. Now, the passage that Murray just read to you refers to all three of the persons, but we are specifically looking at the role of the Holy Spirit this morning, God the Holy Spirit. And here in this passage, Jesus is speaking to the disciples in the upper room. And he's ultimately on his way to Gethsemane and after that to the cross and the resurrection. And in this passage, in the words of Jesus, he's saying we have need of the Spirit of God. And he wants the disciples to know there is a relationship they will need after he leaves them. And like us, the disciples saw the world centering around them, and all they heard Jesus saying was, "Jesus is leaving me alone." Well, Jesus brought their attention back, and he tells them of the need of the Spirit, and they've got to get over their grief and look ahead. And he's saying to them, "It's best for you if I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate, the Counselor, the Strengthener, the Comforter, the Encourager, he will not come. However, if I leave you, I will send the Spirit to you. I didn't tell you that from the beginning because I was with you and you didn't need the Spirit." Now, Jesus is indicating here our need as human beings to be kept, supported, and strengthened. And since he was there with them physically, he was caring for them himself. And since he was there, they didn't need to know all that he was keeping from them and how it was done. But now the time has come and he's telling them, "I'm going away. So you need to understand what's been happening." And there he reveals to us the basic need of our humanity is to be kept. Basically, we are born to be dependent on something or someone to keep us. We're not able to handle life by ourselves. Nobody is. And the big lie, I think I'd call it, that we've been told all our lives is that we should grow up to be self-sufficient and to be independent and not need anyone or anything. I know in my 20s and 30s, I was a lot like that. And I was happy when I was self-sufficient. I was so self-sufficient that I didn't want to take any money or anything from people that were helping me prepare to go to Ecuador because I could do it all by myself. I had to learn differently. But we see this throughout the world. I think a good thing about the pandemic is that we've learned that we do need other people to help us. We don't think it's a positive thing to have no people around to care for us. I see this in myself, though, not just back in my 20s and 30s, but as I grow older, I struggle with giving up my independence. When I decided to share my car with my grandson, I realized that there were some days when, especially Sundays, when I needed to get to church, didn't think I could walk, so I needed friends or family to get there. And I thank Eleanor and Jen and Reed for doing that for me. When I have rearranged my living room, I no longer have pictures on some of my walls, and I need people to help me put up pictures. The other day, I thought I could do it by myself, so I went and got my ladder, had the picture and the hammer there, and I climbed up, and on the second step, I got so dizzy. I can't do this by myself. I got to get down from here. Made me feel a little bit too helpless. It's not easy to give up your independence, but Christ is saying here, you need someone to keep you, to help you, to counsel you, to give you strength. Now, as Jesus is speaking, the disciples are quite perplexed, as they often were when Jesus spoke. They can't quite figure him out or what he's saying, and they sometimes argued about that within themselves. They were full of questions. After the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came, they were greatly strengthened and encouraged and full of joy, almost like different persons. And it was to their advantage, and that is what the Spirit does. It strengthens and encourages and fills us with joy. And it's to our advantage that the Spirit comes, that Jesus was not going to be with them physically. By means of the Spirit, we have access to Jesus that the disciples never had until the day of Pentecost. Verse 7. The Holy Spirit isn't coming to the world. Let me read it to you. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for I do not go away. If I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you, followers of Jesus. But if I go, I will send him, the Spirit, to you. He comes to the Christian, the follower of Jesus, to the church in the world, to us, not to the world directly. And it's through us that the Spirit is revealed to the world. And Jesus tells us that the Spirit will prove that the world is wrong on three counts that really matter: sin, justice, their righteousness, and judgment. First, the Spirit will demonstrate to us that the world is wrong in relation to sin. They are guilty of sin. What sin? They have not believed in Jesus. The world is bent on its own way rather than God's way. And then secondly, the Spirit will demonstrate through us that the world is wrong in relation to justice, their righteousness. When the world looks at the followers of Jesus, they should see what they once saw in Jesus. And if it is justice that is wanting, we know the verdict. God has decided in favor of Jesus as the righteous one. All those that follow Jesus share that verdict. And thirdly, the Spirit will demonstrate through us that the world is wrong in relation to judgment or condemnation here. The world throughout history and today thinks it can pass judgment on Jesus' followers, and they try. However, here Jesus says, the ruler of this world is judged and condemned. And it will be a few short days after Jesus is talking here that the moment when Christ's death and resurrection will take place. And it's due to those events that Satan's power has been broken. Jesus continues to say that the Spirit of truth would guide them into all truth. And at that moment in the upper room, the disciples are not yet ready to handle what Jesus is telling them. They're not strong enough in their understanding. The message says in these verses, I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But when the Friend comes, the Spirit of truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. And I like that image. It's like someone coming and taking my hand and making me step down from the ladder and then go up the ladder and hammer in my picture themselves. When the Spirit comes also, he won't draw attention to himself. He won't speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears from God. He will glorify Jesus. I want to close in telling you of one experience during this pandemic where the Spirit took me by the hand. As an introduction, I'm not a morning person, and many of you know that. And it gets worse as I grow older. So several years ago, I began writing out simple prayers and memorizing them so that first thing in the morning, before I put my feet on the floor, they come to my mind. And sometimes in the morning, I have more alertness and those prayers can prompt me to pray for my family, to pray for the world, to pray for my church. And part of these prayers are asking the Spirit to fill me for that day and to let me live in the freedom of the Spirit. I arrived home from visiting my nephew he was in Florida on March the 3rd. And at that time, they were telling us just to monitor ourselves for 14 days for any symptoms of coronavirus. So I did that. But a few days later, about a week, I was told that I should isolate myself for the rest of the time. And so I did. On the 18th of March, my 14 days were up and I went out and I got my hair cut and I went to the dentist. And I dropped by my granddaughter's because she told me there was a piece of orange spice cake there for me. And I also had a little gift for my great-grandson, Eli. While I was there, Haley took a picture of me and Eli with our arms around each other. That was the last human touch I had. And that picture became very important. Anyway, at that moment, I left and returned to my home here at First Baptist Place. And walked in and learned that the building was quarantined. There were to be no social gatherings or chapel gatherings or Bible studies in the public places of the building. That night was chapel. I had expected to be leading it. After a couple of weeks of this quarantine, I was feeling sorry for myself. I was getting tired of this 400 some odd square foot apartment all by myself. We did meet in the hall sometimes, neighbors and myself, well, every day. But I was still feeling sorry for myself. And human touch was a big thing, and Jen brought me some things, and we talked 6 feet apart, and we joked about I could stroke my arm, and maybe my brain would be fooled into thinking it was one of the kids. I talked to my sister in Pennsylvania, who was also quarantined and feeling hemmed in, and I said to her, half jokingly, "Yeah, but you have Kenny, and I have no one." I was in a blue funk. But I wasn't alone. And the Spirit reminded me when I finally listened that He was there. The Spirit encouraged me, came alongside me, counseled and comforted me, and reminded me of many scriptures I had memorized as a kid and as a teenager. Portions of them, be strong, be courageous. No need to be afraid of what's coming next. No need to panic. You're not alone. The Lord your God has personally gone ahead of you in this pandemic. God in His fullness will not fail you. He will not abandon you. I'm here with you. And He reminded me of my morning prayers. Know this. The Spirit, as Jesus promised, is with you during these days of isolation and quarantine. The Spirit will not leave you. He will comfort, counsel, encourage, and strengthen you. You are not alone. Followers of Jesus, you are not alone.